whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, John, before we get back to who you want to play most and least, Lions potential opponents,
yeah,
teams that are in action this weekend, you heard in the update, Tarek Skubal, avoid arbitration, one-year deal. Did you have a reaction to it?
Well, first I wanted to know what the parameters were if they went to arbitration. And it was, what, 8 to 11 on the very high end?
Those are the estimates.
Yeah. So they erred on the higher end. Both sides agreed. I think it's a good deal for both sides. The team still has control, and they will have it again next year. So they don't have to come with a long-term deal. Tarek Skubal has had an arm event. So you're protecting yourself and your investment. And you're also showing a little bit of respect by saying, hey, we're not gonna take this to arbitration. We're going to give you the high end of it.
He won the Cy Young. Arbitration was going to be friendly to him. It's still less than he's worth, but that's just the reality of baseball. Arbitration helps teams keep the cost down. And the Tigers can keep the cost down, to your point, this year and next year. And I don't know if they're going to get a long-term deal done. Like, I would probably side on the side of them not getting a long-term deal done with Tarek Skubal. And I don't want to fire up the trade talks right now. What I want to stress is win with him right now then. Right? Round out the offseason with a Bregman-level bat, and let's try to win something this year and next year before you even get to free agency with Tarek Skubal, before you even have to entertain trades and worlds without Tarek Skubal on this team.
The best thing that could happen would be if Skubal went out without a deal all season long and pitched like he did last year. Then the Tigers say, okay, he deserves to be the highest paid pitcher in baseball as long as you don't count Otani and all that, which is a little clouded anyways. Right. And he has to take it, right? Like, well, to me, you put it back in their court because, ooh, I'm a Boris client and I'm going to free agency, so you're gonna do two more years of this. To me, that would be the best case scenario.
You get into a game of chicken because Boris is not going to want to settle, especially
right,
if he knows.
But if you make him the highest paid pitcher in baseball, how can he turn that down? He's going to bet on.
Well, it'd be a number of years. It'd be a number of years. Are you giving him an 8-year deal? Because the Boris side of things are going to say, hey, 40 to 50 million is great for a 4-year deal, but we want an 8-year deal. I mean, you get what I'm saying, Tom?
Is Tarek Skubal going to pull a Juan Soto?
And bet take on himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you put the pressure back on, where you give him, you know, you kind of give him what he wants, and I think everybody's cool with it because he earned it a second year. What, to John's point, when, you know, he had the arm event, and I'm not concerned about him getting hurt again, but it's always hanging out there.
Right.
The Tigers have control right now.
Well,
but they could quickly lose it and get, you know, pie in their face on this.
Right. And in regards to they have all the leverage right now because of the way baseball is set up. But on the flip side of it, when you think about offering a guy for 8 years, all right, it is this, you wouldn't have to do that until next year or even in the middle of not next year, year after that season. And at that point, is he a year removed from winning the Cy Young? Does he have the same juice next year? We all think he will. We all hope he does. Does he win back-to-back Cy Youngs? And if he's betting on himself, that number that you have to offer him continues to go up. There's no question about that. But if you get to two more years down the road, and he's 2 years removed from a Cy Young, and he hasn't pitched the same, still been good, but hasn't pitched the same, now, that number's not quite what maybe you would have given him.
Well, he's probably gone if that happens.
Could be.
I mean, and the other thing with that is, I mean, I just think there's no way the Tigers would pay him at that point, you know?
I think for a number of reasons, he is a barometer for so much of the organization's direction. What I mean by that is their willingness to spend and win. And those don't have to be, like, if they say we're not going to spend $300 million on a pitcher who has potential for an arm event, right? We're going to use him up for the next 2 years. We just don't feel comfortable paying him long-term. That could be their fault, their philosophy. And that would send a message as to the level of spend, but they do need to try to win while they have him. So I think it's fascinating to see how they handle Tarek Skubal. If they decide they don't want to pay him, what does that say about their commitment to payroll? And if they don't try to win, what does it say about their commitment to winning? I very much view, like, he is the Rosetta Stone, if you will. He allows us to kind of translate where the Tigers are in terms of their seriousness, right?
No, I agree with that and stuff. But that, again, you can let this year play out. You can see if he does it again. You can see how the team performs. Do they actually get better? Do the young players get better? And then if all the answers are yes, you give him what he wants and you go get a big-name free agent to put the icing on the cake. And then your young players are coming. And Clark's may even be coming by 2026, right?
Yeah, I mean, you also could just do it right now.
You could. But to John's point,
their choice not to something, though. That's all I'm saying is they could do it now. Their choice not to says something. What you read into that is your business. It could be they are undetermined as to how good these young players are. They are not necessarily in a mindset of spending big money. They might not necessarily believe in Tarek Skubal's longevity from a health standpoint. However you want to interpret it, it does send a message if they don't get a long-term deal done and they don't add a big free agent right now.
But I think if you just let it play out like I just described, you pay them next year. What's the difference?
Well, the difference
is what, $25 million because the market went up.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you get for waiting it out. That is the one thing the Tigers would have to sacrifice. It's simply total money.
Yeah.
Because every year contracts go up.
Yeah. I just think my big thing is if you're not committing to an extension right now, okay. Are you trying to win while you have him?
Right.
Are you doing everything you can to win in the window that you have Tarek Skubal in these more affordable years?
You're also forcing him to be his best.
Yes.
If he wants that big payday, he's going to have to continue to pitch at that same level. So you're forcing him to remain and stay at that level, at or near that level. And so if you're going to get that performance from one of your pitchers, then you better be able to build around him, because if he does pitch at or near that level, which you're pushing him to do, you might not have him in 3 years.
Waiting keeps all options open. I mean, he could perform 95% of what he did last year. That'd still be a really, really good season. He could finish second in the Cy Young, and then you're sitting there and you're looking at the rest of your organization and you're like, oh boy, the young guys aren't developing. Let's trade Skubal to the Orioles for two of their guys. And you're right back where you were last summer.
Mm-hmm. 248-539-9797. We're going to get an update on the Lions coaching searches, right? You know, Aaron Glenn's involved, although he turned down an interview from one NFL team. The latest on Ben Johnson and a Lions assistant. John, you think this could be the biggest loss if he leaves?
Yeah.
We'll get to that coming up at 9:18. Couple ticket texts on who you want to play from the teams this weekend. Texter says getting the Packers in the playoffs would be like another bye week. You might be able to rest guys again.
I'm not going to go that far, and I know what I've said about Jordan Love. Without Christian Watson, I think it even minimizes more. I just don't think Jordan Love is a guy that's going to go out there and win you games. At this point of his career, he's just proven that in big moments, he comes up small.
I want the Commanders and the Eagles, so we will have beaten every team in the conference under Dan Campbell, Kyle, and Troy. I didn't realize those are like the final two stones missing on the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah.
He hasn't beaten either of them, right?
So Giants, check that one. Saints, check that one. Panthers, check.
Has he beaten the Panthers?
I don't think he's beaten the Panthers. That's not, what was it in his first year? Did he lose to the Panthers? Or was that one of the final wins? I'd have to go back and check that one.
I don't think so. Did they mention the Commanders? That was their win after they
Yeah, it was Hutch had like three sacks in that game. Yeah. So I don't know that that's necessarily accurate.
You know, when Hutch was a bust in week one.
Right.
He has beaten the Panthers. 2023, they beat the Panthers 42-24.
Okay. All right. Obviously, they beat the Niners, the Cowboys, the Cardinals.
I'm just going to trust him on this. I don't think we need to go through every single team.
Yeah. But it goes to, you know, getting the monkey off your back. And if there's certainly still no monkey on your back regarding Matthew Stafford and the Rams, they've handled that every time, even though maybe you could say it's been close, it's been overtime. Doesn't matter, they still won.
Yeah, I mean, if they face the Rams, and that's who I think they're going to face, and they beat the Rams, it's the same old, hey, we beat Stafford and we move on.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to endure the whole week of, is Kelly going to the game, and what about her kids and revenge for Stafford? And we've done these storylines. And if they lose, you're going to get people who start invoking three-letter acronyms. I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to deal with the Rams. I don't want to face them. It may be the Rams, and if it is, so be it. I think the Lions will win. But that's part of the conversation today. Texter says, John, I want the Bucks and the Bills, since they are the only teams to beat us this season, en route to the Super Bowl. That's from Tony in Clinton Township. And you could. You couldn't face the Bucks in the first round, but you could face them in the NFC title.
Sure.
And then the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right some wrongs.
John, use your head. You want to play a team you've beaten into oblivion already, not a young upstart team with nothing to lose as a wild card.
What if it's the Packers and then the Vikings?
That's what I said. I think that's the most...
Like, that would be... But that would, like, you know, validate the season and the division, you know, in terms of...
The best division in football.
Going 15-2 and beating both your division rivals who were in the best division in football.
Go 8-0 in the division?
Yeah.
So has that ever happened before?
I can't imagine.
Going 8-0 in your division?
I know. I'd be shocked if that happened.
Because I don't think it's very often that even three teams make it from the same division.
I mean, Tampa used to be in the division. So was there somebody, when the Central
less
was...
Less teams in the playoffs.
True.
There was only five teams in the playoffs.
Okay, I'm just talking about division. You had more teams in your division, the opportunity.
Yeah, right. Then somebody did go 8-0, yes.
Probably.
I mean, the Bears did in 85 because they lost to Miami.
Right, right. And the Dolphins, I don't know how many were in their divisions when they went undefeated. That's a long time ago. Yeah,
14
games, right. Yeah, but were there eight division games?
I have no idea.
Moving
Stoney,
on.
Calling
Mike,
Stoney.
Please, Mike, stop. Yeah.
Moving on.
Michael.
We have the cookie jar coming up at 9:35. Coming up next, updates on Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, and Hank Fraley. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank, and I think you should as well, with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. They've been with me every step of the way for the last, 4 years, and helped me every single time. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to know you and build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And I mentioned, every step of the way, they have adjusted the plan. They've accommodated everything that I've needed. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com, First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, we told you the Lions gave Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson 3 days to do some interviews. Yesterday, today, and Saturday are big days. Aaron Glenn said, I don't need to interview with the Patriots. Withdrew his name. I think he saw them fire a coach after one season. I think he also assumes that it's just going to be Mike Vrabel, and it was a waste of his time. Mm-hmm. John, he's also interviewed with the Jets, and that appears to be the best landing spot for him. He played there. Their defense desperately needs to get back to some consistency. For as much attention as Rodgers got as a sideshow, their defense took a step back. And I think he makes sense as a head coach. I really do. I think he's a player's coach, but he can also give you tough love. I think he's a good mix, and I think he's going to be the New York Jets head coach. I think that's the best spot for him.
I think so as well, especially if they go with Spielman as their GM. To me, it then sounds like a no-brainer. And it's, we talk all the time about Ben Johnson and which quarterback would be enticing for him. And I think for Aaron Glenn as a defensive coach, when you look at the reputation that defense has, and there's still a lot of great components of that defense, that's one that he would probably salivate over a little bit, especially with Sauce out on the edge. As a young player, that to me would be that's probably comparable to, you know, the quarterback situation for an offensive coordinator. Maybe it's an edge rusher that would be a little bit more enticing, but they're going to have a high pick.
Thing to watch with Ben Johnson. There's the discussion about him wanting to make sure there's a unified vision with the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders fire their GM. There's reports that the Jags would consider firing Balky for the right coach. Yeah,
or at least moving him in the organization, moving him out of that general manager position.
Opening up a spot for some continuity with potentially a Ben Johnson. I don't know where he ends up. I really don't. I think he's the ultimate wild card here. I mean, everybody's interviewing him. Everybody wants to hire him. So we'll wait on an update there. But a headline yesterday that... maybe caught some people off guard. Hank Fraley, the Lions offensive line coach, interviewed for the Seattle Seahawks offensive coordinator
job. I didn't know it was even a headline until I got a text from a buddy up in Seattle that said, hey, tell me a little bit more about Hank Fraley. So, well, why do you want to know about our offensive line coach? And he says, well, he's going to be up here tomorrow interviewing for the OC job.
Did you tell him he's bad at his job? He's late. He's lazy.
If he wasn't such a good dude, yeah. but, you know, and I sang his praises. In regards to what he is, who he is, the offense that I believe he would run, and his open-mindedness, the technician, the teacher that he is. But in regards to what it means for the Lions, your offensive line coach at almost every level and every team is the heart and soul of that team. And, I mean, yes, yeah, so we know what Dan Campbell is. This is not to take away what he does, but when it comes down to the nuts and bolts, when your head coach is in his office and he's doing head coach things, the O-line coach, probably backed up by the D-line coach, those are the guys that have the best relationships out of anybody on the team across any position group. And if you lose your offensive line coach, especially as one that is as good, and I already mentioned, a great teacher, a great technician, that would be a huge loss for this team. Not that another guy can't come in here and do just as good, if not better. I think it would take more time. We talk about the acclimation period for an offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator or head coach whenever, you know, that happens. I just think it's a little bit longer for that O-line coach because there's so much trust that has to be built. There's a lot of trust in that room. You get a new body, a new mindset, a new voice, and there's a lot of trust that has to be rebuilt.
Strength of the team is the offensive line. Hank Fraley's regarded as one of the best offensive line coaches in football. Losing him would obviously matter. It would matter for developing guys, too. You're trying to develop Giovanni Manu, Mahogany, yeah. Awosika. I don't know how much it hurts the five up front. They've got 600 starts between them. They're all pros. They're vets. I do think continuity will still be there. If there's ever a group that could absorb the loss of an O-line coach,
it's a very
coach,
veteran group.
It's a veteran group like the one we have in Detroit. But you think Fraley could be the biggest loss of the offseason if he leaves?
I do, for all the reasons I just mentioned. It's the heartbeat of a team.
Do you think some of this is setting up for if Ben Johnson were to leave, he doesn't have to go be an OC somewhere else? They could give him the title here in Detroit, whether he calls plays or not.
Oh, you mean the canary in the coal mine?
Yep.
If he is offered the job but turns it down, why does he turn it down to stay the O-line coach? Oh, well, maybe behind the scenes he knows what's going on with Ben Johnson, and he would eventually be named the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions.
Goes both ways. If you were to take an OC job,
maybe it means Ben Johnson staying, and that road to being the OC looks like it's too far down the road. Who knows?
It's a lot to keep an eye on. Lions don't play this week, so we spent a lot of time talking about it. It's yep. The headlines that they're involved in. We'll get the cookie jar at 9:35. Here's Heather with the news.
So the ex-boyfriend of that missing Macomb County woman, Ashley Elkins, has been charged and arraigned with lying to police while they continue to search for her. They have yet to find her. DeAndre Booker, 32 years old, was arraigned in Roseville. He had his bond set at $250,000 and was ordered to wear a GPS tether if he does post bail. He faces up to 4 years in prison if convicted. But authorities are saying that, you know, he just was repeatedly lying to police between January 4th and 7th and 7th when they were asking him questions about his ex-girlfriend, right? And that he willfully provided false and misleading information about the disappearance of Elkins. And what they released during this arraignment were some of his Google searches, which aren't helping him out.
It's unbelievable.
Right. I mean, people, I don't know if people think that those just disappear.
Well, he tried to Google that.
He did try to Google, how do I clear my Google searches, my Google history.
What else did he search?
But he also searched, routes out of the state. Like, how do I pick his way out of here? Where should I go? What do I do while on the run? What? What? How to beat a polygraph test. Yikes. Hmm. And the worst one is blood traceable.
Tell me you're not guilty by telling me you're not guilty.
Exactly. It's not looking good. And you know, you just hope and pray that this woman is going to be found alive and well.
Yeah. Was there anything in there about where to hide a dead body?
I don't think. They didn't release that one. So no, that wasn't there. A Westland woman surprised her family on Christmas Eve, letting them know that she won $1 million in a Powerball drawing. Pretty cool. She won during the September 4th drawing after playing the same number she says she plays every single time. So she and her husband kept the news secret for months, obviously, yeah. And then surprised her family with it on Christmas Eve, let the kids know. She says she plans to invest, save for retirement, and then contribute to her grandchildren's college funds.
Good for her.
Yeah, very cool. Let's talk a little bit more about these wildfires. Just a little update when it comes to the wildfires. Right now, there's four major fires that are still raging across the LA area. I did see that another one has popped up. Like, that's what's so crazy is that if you are starting to gain ground, it's like another one is appearing somewhere else. So these other little, well, they're not little, but smaller fires are appearing all over. At least 10 people have died. Whole neighborhoods just completely devastated, right? As many as 10,000 structures have been destroyed in several of the fires. And firefighters are just saying, hey, like, we don't have good news coming our way. We've got more wind, more dry conditions into the next week. And we need these winds to die down in order for us to really do anything. Also going to be a very, very costly, the costliest fire in U.S. history, already expected to exceed $135 billion. Yeah, real sad. A social media post by one Jets player may have been a little too saucy and is now causing legal issues not only for himself, but also for a well-known sports media company. Yes, Sauce Gardner and Barstool Sports are being sued for defamation.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen any of this going on? Okay, so there's a woman, a mom from Mississippi. She's filed a lawsuit alleging that Sauce Gardner defamed her by falsely saying on social media that she had an OnlyFans page. So he had posted on Twitter. He had posted like a picture in a room in his house. There was like boxes and a ladder under construction, right? And he just captioned it, "Do I even have to say what I'm getting built in my new house?" And she is a Bills fan. And she had kind of a snarky remark commented on his post. Well, the next day, he decided to comment on her comment. And he said, "I'm sure your husband wouldn't like it if I told him you DM'd me your OnlyFans link, would he?" And she said, she responded to him and was like, "Well, I don't have an OnlyFans, but if you have the link, send it my way. I'd love to see it," right? Anyway, she says that this has been seen millions and millions of times, gained a lot of views. And
she started the conversation.
Well, he started it. He asked the question, "What do you think I'm
right?" But
posting,
so
gonna build
yeah.
my room. She did.
If you're going to trash talk, you got to be able to take it as much as give it out.
But she is now saying, after Barstool Sports then posted a story about it as well, it got even more traction, and she's saying that her children and her husband have been subjected to harassment and disparagement. So she is suing for damages.
Hey, be careful what you post on both sides.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem a little
petty.
Yeah.
If I'm a Bills fan, I'm going to take a shot at a Jets player. They're not going to fire back.
But she doesn't have an OnlyFans page. She doesn't have an OnlyFans page. Good
right.
for her.
Yeah.
There's nothing to hide. There's nothing like what? I don't know.
Well,
but anyway, she's doing it. There's a lawsuit out there. Finally, guys, not that I think you've wondered this, but maybe you have. If you've ever wondered which country has the most well-endowed men.
Nope.
You're in luck, because I'm about to tell you. It's not the U.S. Scientists actually went around and,
measured,
tallied, yes, men's sizes from around the globe and determined that the men in the U.S. didn't even make the top 10. Actually, you guys came in 68th place. Pretty low on the list.
One but away it, from it was that would have been awesome.
The good men of Sudan that came in at number one. Yes.
Well, it's warm there, right?
Average size of 7.07 inches.
But he's big.
However,
is that is it in which position? I mean, we got to know all of the details of the exam.
Relaxed or attention?
At
attention. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But however, they say there is one caveat to all of this: is that many of the measurements were actually self-reported.
Then this whole thing is garbage.
But then why wouldn't the guys in the U.S. be like, "Okay, well, guess what?"
Yeah.
We're
just a bunch of humble people.
You give yourself a couple inches or whatnot. Why not? Everyone
just
should
go
come
for
in
it.
Yeah.
I think we're going to under promise and over deliver is what we're going to do.
I thought it was going to be Greenland. That's why we want it.
Oh, right. God. Right. Yes.
No, seriously, who had the smallest?
You want to take a guess?
Oh, boy. No matter what I guess, I lose.
I know what I want to guess.
I'm not guessing.
What does the data say?
Went to the men in Thailand.
It's Heather with the news.
Followed by...
Oh, we're going to go right down the list?
No.
Cookie Jar is next. A much needed break. It's 97.1. It's Friday. It's the Cookie Jar, and it's brought to you by Moran Chevrolet. Six questions. Need your answers. The first, you may look outside. It's cold.
Mm-hmm.
Miserable. But you don't see much snow. Do you miss the snow?
I do. I miss the snow. I miss it more because, and when it does come, I bemoan it sometimes just because I can't plan it like I used to, whether it's snowmobiling, ice fishing, although snow isn't great for ice fishing. I do miss being in a snowier climate. Used to live in Petoskey for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, right now, if it's going to be cold out, I want it to snow. I want the snow. In general, I never miss the snow. I don't love snow. I don't love being cold. But yes, if it's going to be winter and cold here, bring on the snow.
Otherwise, it just looks like gross and bleak.
Yeah.
All shades of gray.
Nah.
You don't miss it?
Not 50 shades, but it's just shades of gray.
Tom?
I do miss it. I mean, I'd love winter in Michigan just as much. I love the season changes and stuff. I gets old in mid-February, although it melts quick then, too. But I really just miss, like, the kids aren't doing what they that I did as a kid. We went sledding so much as a kid.
Right.
And it's, like, non-existent anymore.
And that's the way it looks after a fresh layer of powder. It's all clean.
I mean, some of my best childhood memories are from the winter going sledding and playing ice hockey on ponds, which you can't do hardly anymore either. Now, it's been cold enough now to where you should be able to. Mm-hmm. But
make it ice.
Yeah, I miss it.
Inspired by our conversation earlier this week, what's the longest road trip you've ever taken?
So probably by distance. I don't even know the distance, but by time, I took a 3-week road trip with the kids before I moved back down here. We left from Petoskey, and we went up through the UP, stopped at Marquette, Wisconsin, Boulder Junction, Walker, Minnesota, Leech Lake, fished it. This is when the story I was telling you about having the truck, the fifth wheel, and the boat. And then went up to Lake of the Woods, fished that for a little bit, came down to Minneapolis, took the kids to Mall of America, did that whole deal, Wisconsin Dells. Then we went to Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and picked up the ferry that comes across to Ludington. And then stayed at Silver Lake Sand Dunes, did the sand dunes for a while, and then eventually headed back to Petoskey. So 3 weeks, and it was amazing.
That's sweet.
It was awesome.
That's
and
awesome.
The best part about it was all campgrounds. There was a couple of nights where we stayed in a Walmart parking lot just because we couldn't find a reservation, but that was fine too. Yeah.
I would love to do something like that. I've never done anything like that. One day I think I will. But my longest road trip is actually a road trip that I haven't even left Michigan doing. It's going up to the cottage, which is all the way basically almost into Wisconsin in Ironwood. But you make a couple stops. If you do like Tequamanon Falls first, you're kind of going in the opposite direction. Then you got to go back down and go across the
Picture Rocks.
Probably over 11 hours. Oh, yeah.
Picture Rocks,
for sure. Mm-hmm.
Longest is spring break Florida, but a lot of people have done that. Best is leaving Friday morning to go to Lexington, Kentucky, watch Michigan Fab Five play in the regional semifinals and final, and driving back to Kalamazoo to go back to college Monday morning, all while the album Octoon Baby had just came out.
There you go.
So you're probably guessing mine is like 3 hours or something.
Yeah, it was not to...
It ain't Frankenmuth, we know that.
Mm-hmm. 9 hours.
Okay.
Post-college, had a buddy move out to Virginia. They were in like the Blacksburg, Roanoke area.
Yeah.
So bunch of buddies from college. We made the 9-hour trek. We left like after work, you know, earlier in the day,
mm-hmm.
got in after midnight, hit the Waffle House.
Oh, there you go.
One in the morning. You're, you know, starting to drag as the night goes on. But yeah, about 9-10 hours. Yeah. Greg?
When I was a kid, we went out to Green River, Wyoming.
Oh,
it is 21 hours of a drive from our house in Brighton.
Wow.
We went out there. It took 3 days to get out there.
Wow. Nice.
What is the best way to eat leftover pizza?
For me, it is in the microwave. But before you put it in there, you put a couple of pads of butter on the crust so that it absorbs the butter. You salt the pizza just a little bit when it comes out, and it's just wonderful. And then any that drips off, you get to sop up with part of the pizza.
You salt the pizza?
Oh, I salt every piece of pizza I ever eat.
Oh, that's...
I can't be the only one that finds that odd, right?
You add salt to it? I thought you were meaning the butter kind of salts it.
Add salt to the butter. Yeah, even when we order Buddy's, I always salt the pizza.
Oh, wow.
And microwave, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I'm surprised you said microwave, too.
How are you supposed to melt the butter?
Oven.
You can put it in the oven, the broiler. Some people do it on like a stovetop pan. The microwave, you get like...
It gets chewy
and the cheese gets kind of gross.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I mean, I don't think there's any wrong way to eat leftover pizza.
No.
I mean, for me, I eat it cold. I mean, I don't even need to heat it. I'll just take it as it is. I'll dip it in a little bit of ranch. Good to go. Yeah.
You're such a Michigander. Dip it in ranch.
Oh, yeah, Heather, you got it. Straight out of the fridge, homie dog.
Yep.
Remember the show Cold Pizza?
Yeah.
Hey.
Woody Page?
Yeah, I think anyways, right? But the best way is actually let it set out for about 15 minutes, go to the toaster oven, and just put it on warm. It gets almost like it's brand new. Although I have heard, that's why I wanted to get in on this, the air fryer is the way to go. I haven't done it yet, but I've heard air fryer is very good.
I believe it.
I've heard the stovetop is the way to go. I've done oven.
Okay.
Oven is the way that I reheat pizza.
Well, when I want it now, so microwave is the way to go.
There's also a fair response of what is leftover pizza? What age does your kid no longer need a babysitter? Can I go first just because I don't have kids and I think you guys can judge away here? In my brain, I think 12.
Depends on boys or girls. Girls are much more responsible. And so for my girls, it was right around the age of 10.
Oh, wow.
For Jack, if he was going to be left home alone, it was not until 12 and maybe even because boys do stupid things. They have different ideas and things that they think is fun, which I think is fun too, but it's much more risky and dangerous.
Heather?
I'm actually with you. I wrote down 12 and 12 is the age I started babysitting.
Okay.
So if I was a babysitter at 12, I could babysit myself. I don't know what I'll do with my kids yet until they get... around that
each
age.
One's a little bit different. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have a number, but I was thinking middle school. So middle school age is, you don't need a babysitter anymore.
All right, favorite zoo animal. I ask this because you may have seen on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
I got the little experience with the penguins at the Detroit Zoo where you can feed them. What's your favorite zoo animal?
Did you pet one?
Yeah, you can pet them.
Okay. Could you hold them?
No, you shouldn't pick them up, but they all have like little personalities and you get to feed them the fish and everything. It's actually pretty cool.
That's cool.
And they don't cheat you on time. It's not like 5 minutes and you're out.
My favorite one is the gorillas. They're badass. I mean, just to see something that big, that powerful. And what sets you apart is that little plexiglass. You're like, oh man, I'm not sure if this holds, but
so you
man.
Can go up to them and look at them, go,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Stand next to him. See how, compare. Yeah.
You were a member at the zoo for a while.
Still members. Gorillas are great. Monkeys, like the chimpanzees. I like the monkeys in general are probably my favorite just because they're really active. So they're fun to go and watch and see. Those are my favorite.
Yeah. If I'm going to be on brand here, it's got to be donkey.
Why?
Because you're a jackass?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't thinking. I'm not that mean.
Oh, no, that's the one I thought of.
All right. My answer is actually not penguins. It would be the polar bears. If you've seen the polar bears at the Detroit Zoo.
Oh, yeah. But you have to know, the key is to know what time they do the feeding.
Right.
Yeah. Because then you'll get to actually see them swim over the glass dome. Otherwise, you might not actually see them under there.
Yeah. Well, they've got you can see them in the water underwater, too.
You can, but I'm saying when you're under there, you don't always see them. They're not always there. But if they do the feeding, find out the time because it's awesome.
Last one. Would you rather know when or how you die?
Oh, I think this one's easy. When? Because there's a lot I still want to do. I want to know when so I can get it all done and go out with a balance sheet of zero. How you die, you're going to be dead either way. I don't care.
I would not want to know how I was going to die. Let's say it's a car crash. Like every time I got in my car, I'd be like, is today going to be the day? Like
right,
that would be awful. Like I'm just headed to Kroger. Is this it? Is this
ride
how
your
I
bike.
End? I'd rather know when as well.
If you knew how, then you could avoid it. Like if you're going to die in a car crash,
I'd never get in a car again.
Yeah.
Which would suck, but
I'd
be alive.
From home.
But is that what leads you to your death in the first place?
Yeah, that's true.
This is a great question. I think that knowing when I'll die is terrible because I'm going to be spending the rest of my life doing this.
Watching the
clock.
No, but you don't need to watch the clock. If you know exactly when it is, hey, it's going to be.
Okay, I've got this much time left. I've got this much time left. Not going to do that. I'd rather know how.
How's terrifying? You're looking over your shoulder.
I'm gonna drown?
Yeah, see, he gets. Gray's getting paranoid by this. I can definitely tell. And it'd be like he'd. You know the show 24? just that bing, bing, that would be going on in his head the rest of his life, and it'd drive him insane. I have a something. This might be very smart. I think this could be a like a quote that lives on for the rest of mankind.
Oh, come
on. Okay, jackass, let's go.
If I know when, how doesn't matter?
I suppose. You got like Robert Frost over here. I think the answer is when.
Yeah,
it's not ideal if they tell you like tomorrow. But if it's not, then you can live your life accordingly. If you know you're going to live to 85,
right? And then when the time comes, you could tell all the people that you love them, that you want to tell them you love them. You can mend the bridges that you think need to be mended.
Yeah. The reason this popped in my head is I saw a video about like people talking about retirement. We talked a little bit about retirement yesterday, and you have to basically plan for when you're going to die, essentially. Yeah. Like how much money
do you... Go so out with a balance sheet of zero.
You could, exactly. Time it up perfectly. Mm-hmm. All right, that's the cookie jar. It's 97.1.
Hey, don't let the cold creep in because damn, it's cold outside right now. If you need your furnace serviced today, do what I did, call Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment, the best prices, and they offer same-day service. Plus, there's that 5-year warranty, so you know you're covered. Save a bundle with their winter bundle. Up to $1,500 in savings when you buy a new furnace, AC, and generator. Call for details or visit MastercraftHeating.com.
Before we get to Carson Anderson, I have a James Franklin question for you, John.
Oh, shoot it.
Well, I want to read some ticket text first because people have some stuff to say on the cookie jar. You can wait. Everybody can wait a couple minutes here. People are really fixated on the pizza.
Really?
Yeah, we asked a bunch of questions. Most people have opinions on the way
it's a pizza town.
You eat your pizza.
Oh.
Texter says, I lightly salt the pizza. It really brings out the flavors.
Sure.
And John's reheat method is what I do minus the butter. I'm going to try that. Sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. It is.
John is definitely going to drop of a heart attack in his 60s. All the salt and bacon and all that he adds to these meals.
I mean, so be it. I might not be able to think by that time anyway.
Oh, that's dark. Speaking of death, what happens if you find out you're going to die in 2 weeks?
It'd be the greatest 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah. Well, you'd rather know, right?
Not working.
Right, yeah.
What else are you going to do?
Spend some money, have some fun.
Yeah.
Sit there in shock and waste your 2 weeks. Like, you have to go full throttle.
Oh, man,
saying,
it's a bummer.
It's happening, kids. I'm sorry. This is the deal.
You can say your goodbyes. You can live the fullest life possible.
I'm pretty sure I'd walk right out of here right now.
You should if you found out you'll had 2 weeks to live.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to spend it with us? Don't answer that.
Probably.
No.
I wouldn't.
One segment. I want one more segment.
A farewell segment.
One that's going to get you fired.
Not his problem anyway. Yeah. Uh-huh. Texter says, sprinkle some water on the pizza for moisture and stick it in the air fryer. Crisp, hot, no cold spots like a microwave. Says, just order another pizza if you're using the oven. Who has time for that, says Tony.
Just do it on broil, though. It's really quick. You don't need to like heat the oven to 400 degrees.
Yeah.
Just broil it really quickly.
Yeah, I want it now.
It's pretty fast.
Freddie says, John, you need to fry bacon in a pan, then put the cold pizza on top of the bacon grease to warm it up.
Oh, gosh.
Freddie, you're a genius. Is that Freddie the pizza man?
It doesn't say he spells it the same way.
He is a genius.
Guys, the only way to reheat pizza is the air fryer. Crust is crispy. Cheese melts perfectly. Game changer, Todd in Plymouth.
Mm.
Several votes for the air fryer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
John, would you mend the bridge with Portis if you knew when you were going to die?
No. No. I might look for a dark alley. If I knew I was going to go out and take my shots.
Yeah, if you knew when, then you know you could get away with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about all the fun things.
You could get arrested and spend the rest of your life in jail. That'd be
exactly.
No fun.
Trust me, in some place, I have to choose the right place to do it because in this country, you don't even have to post bail.
And see, what if you die because you get shanked in prison? Because you killed Clinton Portis. How much time you had left.
Yeah.
Things to consider today.
Sure.
A thought-provoking episode of the Cookie Jar.
So you're going to die because you got shanked.
You chose when, not how. James Franklin, he lost another big game. How much blame should be placed on him? It's funny. It is. But how much of that is him?
1-15. If you're playing an opponent, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5.
How much is him? They blew a 10-point lead. They had him where they wanted him at halftime, and they lost. How much is him, and how much of it's just Drew Aller stinks?
Well, it's his quarterback. It's his coaching.
Yeah.
And it, kids, and yes, I still think they're kids. They make bad decisions in a lot of different ways. This one just came in the fourth quarter with, what, about 20 seconds left or a little bit more. And it's I don't know that I can necessarily put this one on James Franklin. I can enjoy it as another James Franklin loss. It's his team that lost. But it, players, there's enough blame to go around. So I'm not sure the percentage I want to put on James Franklin, but it's certainly some of it falls on him.
Oh, I mean, I love that the narrative continues.
Oh, yeah.
Big game James. But Drew Aller, even before that interception, had played a bad football game.
Oh, I mean, he was given a gift on the PI in the end zone triple. When he throws the interception into triple. And there was a fourth on the way.
Notre Dame had two interceptions taken off the board for pass interference. Mm-hmm. And you could say by the letter of the rule, they were both PI. But was it really catchable in triple coverage when the guy was going to intercept it, whether there was contact or not? Fine. By the letter of the rule, it was called properly. But Aller was not given his receivers
Much of a chance. No.
And the interception he threw was an all-time stupid. You're going to go back across the field with the read, throw it blind over the middle of the field. He deserved to lose that game.
No question.
I've never been impressed with him. For as much as a 6'5", he's highly recruited. Fine, it didn't happen last year. They switched the OC. It's going to happen for Aller, right? Right?
Well, it didn't have to happen this year. Obviously, Penn State fans would have liked for it to happen. He's got another year of college eligibility, and for him, I like the self-awareness of, I'm coming back to college. I'm going to come back. I've not accomplished as a team what I wanted to accomplish, not accomplished as a player what I think I need to accomplish. Who knows what we're talking about in a year from now? He could be the best coming out of college in a year. That's the benefit of the ability to get better.
Push him to the portal, get somebody else.